This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start off with Patrick Queen, okay? And, you know, watching Trenton Simpson, I saw him play last year at the end of the season, you know, when they had the, that last game of the year. He went in there and really was impressed with him then. I saw him in college. He exceeded my expectations, okay, from what I saw in college. You know, then I start hearing about his dad was an Army Ranger, so it's all starting to fall together for him. I think what's going to happen is, based off what I saw the other night, I think he's going to be better than Patrick Queen.
Wow.
Without a question. I mean, he's an upgrade
this
of
year?
Patrick Queen this year.
Wow.
So that was Bobby DePaul. And if you missed Bobby D yesterday, I think you missed out because he gave you 4 hours of absolute knowledge. And
still on the Odyssey app? He
yes,
can go back yesterday.
Yes, you can. He's joined us for the entire show yesterday. He's been breaking down film. He broke down the draft class. He watched Friday night's preseason game. And this was probably the biggest bombshell of the show. Trenton Simpson, who the Ravens are high on, but him saying that Trenton Simpson will be an upgrade over Patrick Queen this year. And I reminded him, I said, Bobby, just for the record, Patrick Queen was a second team All-Pro a year ago. He's like, I don't care. This guy's a better football player. He said he did more Friday night without Roquan Smith than he saw Patrick Queen do without Roquan his entire Ravens career.
And obviously, going back to Week 18, Roquan Smith wasn't on the field. Now, of course, Simpson did play alongside Patrick Queen there, but he was still able to have a ton of splash plays in that game. I'm with you. That was the biggest surprise that Bobby D had in store for us yesterday, because I feel like we've been trying to control expectations for Trenton Simpson and kind of – let's give this guy some time and not expect Patrick Queen out of the gate. But for Bobby DePaul to say he's going to be an upgrade this year, I was shocked. That's why I was like, this year or throughout the rookie contract? But what do you have in Trenton Simpson? You know, there's some similarities in the fact that both Queen and Simpson are twitched up athletes.
Yes.
Both of them are sideline to sideline guys. Now, if there was a knock on Queen's game, it was him in coverage, even though he did improve from his rookie year to last year in Baltimore. But Bobby also thinks that Simpson can be better against the pass early on.
Yeah, he thinks he's already better at covering running backs out of the backfield than Queen was when he left this past season, which, you know, that was surprising.
Now, for sure,
we're going to see it for real when we get there. One of the other things that Bobby D talked about, he was incredibly high, and we alluded to this last segment. Tavius Robinson, he's a big Tavius Robinson guy. He thinks Tavius Robinson could make an impact this season.
I think it was even more surprising, not just Tavius Robinson, but he said that this is the best that the edge position has been now, August 12th, yesterday, than it's been over the past few years, because he mentioned, of course, they brought in Clowney late, they brought in Van Noy into the season, and that was surprising because we've been talking about this edge group, a lot of unproven guys, can Oway take the next step, Van Noy, you're going to want him on a pitch count, but having Tavius Robinson take the next step can go a long way in limiting those snaps for Kyle Van Noy. And he was also high on Adisa Isaac.
Yes, he's the guy who said he actually produced at Penn State, which Oweh didn't. He thinks he can be an NFL pass rusher.
If those two things come to fruition, Robinson taking the next step and Isaac at least being a factor in terms of being a situational pass rusher, I think we look at this edge group a heck of a lot differently. And quite frankly, just hearing Bobby D gush about the vast majority of the team, the only downside was the offensive line, which we'll get to in a second. Mm-hmm. But it really got me thinking big about this defense.
Yes.
In, as a whole, because if those things come to fruition, big if, but if Trenton Simpson is an upgrade over Queen, Bobby D thinks the secondary very well is upgraded, you know, year over year. And those edge situations, you can kind of dream big about this defense that's coming off a historical year.
I don't know if you read into this like I did, but I felt like he was saying Tavius Robinson is going to be what they wanted David Ajabo to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And Bobby, you know, like all of us, I mean, it's kind of show me time for David Ajabo. He didn't really have anything too groundbreaking to say about him. But, yeah, I think that's definitely accurate in what he was saying.
Let's go to some things he didn't like. One of them was the running back position. And by running back position, I mean the third running back. He is not a fan of the fifth-round pick. He said what he saw Friday night was what he saw on college tape, just not impressive. Thought Owen Wright was a little better, but not great. That's probably why the Ravens signed John Kelly today.
Sure, and, you know, I kind of liked what I saw out of Owen Wright, and, you know, some of the beat guys out there have liked what they've seen at a training camp, but they did make that move. And a reason why we're kind of bringing this up, where Derrick Henry is going to be the bell cow.
By the way,
offense.
He loves Derrick Henry.
Oh, he was all over Derrick Henry. He said age is just a number and all of that. But Derrick Henry's going to be a bell cow. But with him being 30, I mean, is he more susceptible to injuries? Justice Hill, we know his injury history. And that's kind of why that third running back, it is a low-key need for this football team. You'd like to feel a little bit better about that third running back, and who knows how things shake out come roster cutdown time. But, I mean, the third running back very well could not be on the roster right now.
Let's get to the O-line, and the offensive line looks like it's got some issues as we head into the second game of the preseason. He said a year ago the O-line was thought of at the start of the year as one of the best in the NFL. Now, granted, had their injury issues, they were rotating tackles at the end of the year, but he likes Roger Rosengarten a lot, said eight-year starter at right tackle.
Very high.
Said, I like that guy. On the flip side, we look at Andrew Voorhees, and I think a lot of people have already anointed him a starting guard. I have. I'm among them. Like, he's going to be one of the starting guards.
Yeah.
Bobby D was not impressed with Voorhees on Friday.
Well, he wasn't impressed with Voorhees, and he mentioned that both guard positions are massive question marks for this football team. And something that he also talked about with, which I agree wholeheartedly, is that makes it especially more paramount for them to pound the rock early on, because that's the offensive lineman's best friends. You just get off the ball,
yeah,
boom, try and move guys. You have Derrick Henry, who you know he can make guys miss. You know he can run over people and get extra yardage after first contact. But this is going to be a work in progress. He brought up blanking on the coach's name, where the five offensive linemen, how they all got to work
Gruden.
Together. Yes, yes, John Gruden working
like
together.
A chorus line.
Exactly, like a chorus line. That was the line. Where when you lose three of your five starters from a year ago, and you're going young, the oldest, Ronnie Stanley is the elder statesman,
yes,
at 30 years old, where the rest of those guys are on their rookie contracts.
Now, he did say, if Stanley can stay healthy and Rosengarten, who he thinks he is, and you got Linderbaum at center, you should be pretty good at the three spots, and all you're doing is filling guards.
Yeah.
But still, a lot of question marks with those guards.
Well, and you know, we were just playing sound from Chuck Smith and talking about the importance of pass rush up the middle, and that is exactly what you don't want if you are Lamar Jackson and Todd Monken. So That's why, to me, and we did that exercise a couple weeks ago when Jason was out, you know, what are you more concerned about, edge or O-line? And I've always been O-line for me just because there's so many question marks.
He also, I want to get to one more thing, and that is the backup quarterback. And he made a good point that I don't think we've touched on enough. The Ravens' organizational philosophy on not paying the backup quarterback, especially now that Lamar Jackson is making the money he makes, they're not going to spend money on a backup quarterback. And I think their philosophy is if Lamar Jackson gets seriously hurt, the season's over anyway. So, and I think Bobby DePaul talked about the fact that they trust Josh Johnson to be a guy that's mentally smart enough to, if Lamar comes out of a game, he can sort of handle everything cerebrally. Now, what can he do physically? But they're not going to pay Ryan Tannehill to back up Lamar Jackson. Maybe a Taylor Heineke, and he was for that.
Yeah.
But he there's a trust about Johnson being the backup.
I get what he's saying. I 100% get what he's saying, and I think Heineke fits a lot of what Bobby's saying, and the fact that he's not making any money. You know, he's making just a little over $1 million. But ultimately, if your starting quarterback goes down, if you're any of the 32 teams, your chances of winning a championship are significantly compromised. But I don't know if I'm all in on just, well, Lamar's down, punting the season. I don't know if I'm that far on that side. That's why, you know, can you find that happy medium of – yeah,
if he misses three games, could Taylor Heineke win two?
Yes, exactly. And that's what you're looking for.
Coming up next, we'll stay talking football, but we're going to look at the league at large. Could there finally be a Brandon Ayuk trade to the Steelers? Sounds like we might be getting close. The Cowboys are a mess. Matthew Judon, could he be traded? And we'll look at Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, who played their first preseason football. It's League at Large. We're live at Pickles across the street from Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Orioles start a two-game series against the Nats tonight. Baltimore baseball tonight. That's the Bone and Ryan Ripken, 5:30 here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we wouldn't have him out here. It has really not anything to do with his contract. Dak won't be out here this afternoon. And so the bottom line is, what it is no, there's not that urgency. Now, I understand completely the angst that's happening when you're anxious about and someone says anything about whether you're missed or not. Well, CD, you're missed, okay? But you're not missed out here competing, and it doesn't put any pressure anyplace on us.
That is Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys, with some jibber-jabber about C.D. Lamb. I want to remind people that the Cowboys, while they're incredibly relevant monetarily, have not been relevant on the football field since before Y2K.
They're a mediocre franchise.
Yes, but he's decided that two of his three best players, I would say his three best players are Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott, C.D. Lamb. Both Dak Prescott and C.D. Lamb are embroiled in contract controversies, and C.D. Lamb, quite frankly, is not showing up. And he says there's no urgency. I did see CeeDee Lamb quote tweeted that and wrote LOL on Twitter. So this is going over very well.
Well, for what it's worth, Adam Schefter did have an update earlier on NFL Live saying these two sides, when you talk to enough people around the league, fully expect that this deal will get done. Schefter did go on to say that there are still differences to bridge, but emphasize the expectation across the league is for a deal to be finalized. Went on to say there would be a huge upset if Lamb wasn't on the field for the Cowboys season opener, but he doesn't have a choice after the year that CeeDee Lamb had.
You got to pay him. You know, if Jerry Jones wants to be upset at someone, he should be upset at Chuck Bucks, because our boss put the Maloika on this whole thing. at Green Turtle one Sunday saying that CeeDee Lamb's not a
number one.
Yeah, and since then, he became arguably the best receiver in football.
Yeah, so Chuck, he motivated him.
Yes,
right? Jason motivates a lot of guys
because
in what he says.
Motivates Chuck, many people. Yeah. Colton Cowser being the latest.
Chuck motivated
Kyle Hamilton.
CeeDee Lamb. But the Cowboys are kind of at a crossroads here because Dak Prescott has all of the leverage in the world right now. His contract, the latest contract that he signed a few years back, they can't franchise him again. Mm-hmm. So they don't have that in the back pocket. He has a massive cap hit this year. And we know if you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you don't have much of a chance of winning anything. They got to pay him and then Micah Parsons. And then at that point, if you do pay all three of those guys, that cap situation is going to be a little hairy.
Let's get an update here. This is from Ian Rappaport on the Brandon Ayuk situation. He said the Steelers and Niners have a deal on a potential trade, and Pittsburgh is in a good place on the Ayuk contract, sources say. If San Francisco gives the final sign-off, it's done. But he also points out San Francisco has an offer out to Ayuk on a long-term deal for him to stay. He hasn't accepted. So still no resolution on an Ayuk decision, but it sounds like we might be getting close. Are we in the red zone here?
There has been so much smoke with the Steelers and trying to acquire a wide receiver all offseason, the Steelers trying to acquire Brandon Ayuk all offseason, where it just seemed like this was eventually going to happen. I'm with you. I think it sounds like this is in the red zone. I am curious if it does go through what the compensation is, because it seems like the Steelers have been reluctant to include any of their players in a trade package, but they needed to bring in a wide receiver. You have George Pickens, who has his own flaws, and no one else. And that's – we love Aditi. We love Aditi Kikavala.
Yes, but we do.
When we had Aditi on last week, I mean, she was adamant that, what are we talking about, them trying to acquire a wide receiver? And it just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I do wonder how this looks, whether it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields throwing the football to these guys. Like, I feel like they both stink, so.
Yeah, we're going to do a Northern Exposure each of the next 3 days, hear from what Bobby DePaul had to say about each of those three other teams in the AFC North. But Bobby sounded like he was on our wavelength, Ken, in terms of.
Yes, they stink.
Not a fan of Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
Update, we do know that the Ravens are playing the Chiefs 3 weeks from Thursday. Doesn't look like Marquise Hollywood Brown will be playing because he's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with the sternoclavicular injury he suffered.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, okay.
That sounds serious.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a big word.
That
is a
when
big word.
When you're throwing in that many letters, dude, it's got to be a big deal.
More important, 4 to 6 weeks,
yes.
Whatever the hell that is.
Yes.
So he will not play.
He will not play week one. And I have been.
I never see Hollywood Brown as a guy. If you say 4 to 6 weeks, he doesn't come out on the early side.
Yeah, it's not going to be four.
Yeah.
I have been really interested in seeing him in Kansas City because. Look, when you have Patrick Mahomes throwing you the football, it helps a lot. And I think it wouldn't surprise me if he had a solid year there. The big thing with him, of course, is just going to be staying healthy. But we know that they desperately needed receivers. They went out, drafted one in the first round, and then brought in Hollywood. Yeah. But going to have to wait to see him in the Chiefs red.
One more. Matthew Judon not happy with his contract in New England. We brought up Matthew Judon to Bobby D. He's like, that's more pie in the sky. Reunions are nice, but he doesn't see it. But Matthew Judon, because he wants a new contract, but Judon not happy in New England.
We talked about this months ago when we did a couple breaks on Matt Judon, maybe a Ravens reunion. And I get what Bobby's saying. He obviously is going to want to get paid. He has $6.5 million in base salary due this year, final year of his contract. But if you're the Patriots, I mean, why would you not trade him? You are going to absolutely stink this
year. You're going nowhere.
You're going nowhere. He's on the last year of his deal. He's in his 30s. I mean, he's not a part of your future. If he isn't dealt prior to the deadline at a minimum, I would be stunned. But I would think you're going to try and deal him prior to week one if you're New England.
Yeah, you're right about that. It doesn't make much sense. He's not going to help you win many football games in New England. Coming up next, our weekly chat with our friend Rita Hubbard. What she think of the O's and the Ravens after that first preseason game? We'll ask Rita next here on The Fan. Orioles and Nats start a two-game series tonight at Camden Yards, where Pickles across the street taking them until 5:30. Ravens on the practice field for training camp as they just played their first preseason game Friday. It's a perfect time to talk to our friend Rita Hubbard, who joins us every Tuesday. And Rita, thank you as always for joining us. So let's start with the Ravens. Did you see anything you liked on Friday night?
It's funny. Well, obviously Nate Wiggins, right? I mean, yeah. I call him Wiggy. I'm calling Wiggy because I'm lazy and I like to just give people nicknames. But you know, the kid is to me as advertised. The things that I that were going to be a concern for him, I'm still a little concerned about because I think that there's some plays that that might be considered pass interference as the season goes on, because we know refs love throwing that flag. So he has to be careful about some of those plays. But I love his physicality. I love how smart he is. I love how fast he gets back to the football. I think that, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, how they're going to utilize him. I think I got out of that more so about my concern about the backup quarterback situation, though. And Glenn and I talked about that on the show on Sunday, because I didn't like the way Josh Johnson looked. I think that for a guy who's been on 17 teams and been in the league for as long as he's been in, for him to still have, to me, very trivial errors that he's having is a concern. And I don't know how you go into the regular season saying that with confidence, that's your backup quarterback. So, and I say that because, I mean, we saw him play for about a half. So I got to see the some of that stuff is like with the offensive line and those guys. A lot of those guys, we're not gonna see some of those guys. So I think I need to see more at this coming game coming up this weekend. Maybe the guys that they foresee to be starting will get some better play time, because I saw some Rose Garden, but I was more concerned about what Josh Johnson had going on than I was about the offensive linemen. So I'll do a better job of that this weekend. But back to your original question, I thought Nate Wiggins looked a lot like his tape at Clemson out there last week.
Trenton Simpson got a lot of hype this offseason, Rita. What did you think of him in preseason week one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that Trenton Simpson, to me, is trending up, and we had an opportunity to talk to him as well. And he, you know, felt good about what, you know, going into that preseason game. Again, it's kind of hard when you're playing against guys that are not necessarily considered starters. So for me, while I thought Trenton Simpson did well, I'm more so going on what we saw from him on the last game of last year against the Steelers, who, you know, were playing their starters because they were playing for a playoff spot. So I'm excited about Trenton Simpson and seeing, you know, what it is that he's going to be able to do. That's another guy that I'm looking forward to watching this weekend to see how he's going to play. And again, I think that this weekend I'm also going to focus more so on the offensive line to see, you know, what formations they're going to have. It was kind of weird, you know, how they had set up, you know, with Ben Cleveland at center. Like, I don't know what's going on over there. Trent Simpson is the guy that I just think that we have a lot of promise for, and I'm looking forward to see more of what they're going to do this weekend as we get to the second game of the preseason.
Talking to Rita Hubbard's Inside Access here on the Fan. Rita, first time we got to see the Ravens in a game with the new kickoff. Are you fired up about the new kickoff?
No. that's the one thing about the XFL that I didn't really love to begin with. And, I mean, you know, and that's fine, but I think that there's so much confusion still going on about the rules and what you can and can't do that it's going to take a while to kind of, you know, out the kinks of it. But, you know, maybe it's just I don't like it because it's new. It's not new to me because, again, I've watched XFL games and stuff, and I watched UFL last year. But I just don't know how that fits into the NFL. Some stuff just you just got to leave alone. And I think that the NFL want to do everything but get technology in for first downs and touchdowns, which irritates me. But I'm not really loving it. And, again, it's not something that I really loved when I watched it in the other leagues. But maybe I just need to give it a chance and let it, you know, kind of play itself out. And hopefully once the players get more acclimated with the new rules as the season goes on, I'll change my mind. I doubt it. But maybe I'll change my mind.
We're speaking to Rita Hubbard, Inside Access on the Fan. Rita, earlier in the show we were talking O's and the fact that, look, 70 wins, they were the first team to 70 wins. We know that this is a flawed team, but so are the other 29 teams in baseball, where Jacob Calvin-Meyer, he had the stat. Right now there isn't a team – that is going to exceed 95 wins this year. That would be the first time since 1959. Despite all of the flaws and warts of this Orioles team, if they get some guys back healthy in September, could you see them still going on a run in October some way?
Yeah, and I've been saying this for a while. Last week when I started to write something for the Baltimore Beat, and I looked at the standings. As of last week, there were 12 teams of 60 or more wins. I don't know the updated stats on that. I'm just telling you as of last week that was what the stats were. And I just was saying that I don't recall this type of parity in Major League Baseball in my viewing memory. It's always been somebody that kind of stands out, you know. The Houston Astros have been a team that I think that, you know, lots of us we're used to at this point. They're a caliber team. And then you got your bigger teams like the New York Yankees, like the Los Angeles Dodgers, those type of teams that, you know, they're obviously larger markets, and so they're always in a picture. But this year just feels a little bit different. And all the things that we complain about, which are all valid points, by the way, when you talk about the starting pitching and the health, when you talk about the bullpen, when you talk about the inconsistent bats, those are all obviously, issues that could potentially hurt the Orioles when it comes to a World Series title. But when you start looking at everybody else, all the other teams that are quote-unquote good, well, they got it too. And so I think that it allows the playing field to be a little bit more even. It allows teams to be flawed but still be in major contention, you know, for a World Series title. So I'm not surprised that it's not going to be a 100-win team, because it's, to me, I've noticed this trend of, like, you know, even the teams that we maybe thought were going to be good a year later, a little bit ahead of schedule, maybe like the Kansas City Royals or whatever. But the fact that there's so many teams that are right now competitive and playing at a level where, you know, they're fighting, there's so many spots that people are fighting for currently. Hey, I think that gives the Orioles a great chance of being representatives of the AL for the World Series.
Rita, let's finish with this. Coby Mayo is yet to have a major league hit. He's not in the lineup tonight, which I think makes sense because Trevor Rogers, ground ball pitcher, and I think Mayo started the last time and committed an error in that game. So Arias at third base. Yeah, should have been two. Are you concerned at all about Coby Mayo?
I mean, I'm concerned about how this organization treats guys like Coby Mayo. Yes, we've seen this before, right? You bring up a guy, a cursed egg, you send him down. You bring up a guy like Mayo, you send him back. I don't know what they're doing over there, and I guess that's my issue. I don't know how you expect anybody to find some type of continuity if you don't give them playing time. So if you're not going to give them playing time, then what was the point of bringing him up here to begin with? If you knew that he wasn't going to be a good third baseman, or if you didn't know that and you know that now, what is he still doing up here? I don't understand what they do with a lot of guys that they bring up and down, and I feel like this is just a pattern for the Orioles, how they operate. And so I'm frustrated for him. If I'm Coby Mayo, I'm frustrated. But I'm frustrated for him because how are we supposed to expect this kid, you know, come around and find some continuity and some consistency if you're not going to put him in the lineup? Or if third base is not where he's going to be, what is the backup plan here? And if you don't know, then send them back down. Let him get playing time. So when you do want to send him back up and he's ready, then you can send him back up. But I just don't know what the Orioles ever do with any of these guys that they have. And to me, that's more of the frustrating part than Kobe Mayo within itself.
You and Glenn tonight?
Me and Glenn tonight. So yeah, we're gonna have a little bit of fun. All-time low. They're coming into town, so we're we're gonna have them call in, and we're gonna talk to Obi Mahaley as well because he is the Falcons, I think, color guy there, or he does radio in Atlanta. Yeah. One of those things. But former Raven fullback, yes. We'll have him on. So I'm looking forward to that this evening.
Rita Hubbard, always great. Thanks for your time. We will chat next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Coming up next, T-Bone time, TMI with TIM. What you got?
Well, when I got to the station today, Chuck was there, and we were kind of just talking about the trip. Yeah, reminiscing about the prior 48 hours.
Little River Ken.
Bend. Yeah, Little River Bend. About the prior 48 hours where you and I, we went over his place Sunday night and then stayed there that morning. Chuck showed us all around, and we kind of got talking, and there's kind of almost two types of people. It's a mini bone in, bone out.
Oh.
Are you bone in or bone out on spending the night at other people's places? Some people, it's like, hey, man, it's my bed or nothing. 410-583-1057. You bone in or bone out, and why about spending the night over someone's places? And also, there's a friend of mine who's associated with a nonprofit that I want to talk about as well. 410-583-1057. That's next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time here on a Tuesday. TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Sleepover talk. Yeah. On TMI right now, 410-583-1057. You bone in on sleepovers, staying the night over someone's house, or you bone out on it? Do you want your own bed? Do you want your own pillows? Do you want just your own house? Well, we were over Chuck Buck's.
Casa de Bucks.
Yeah, yes.
It was like it was George Clooney's house on Lake Como, but in Ocean City area.
And it was unbelievable. I mean, he really
lots of bedrooms.
Really a ton of bedrooms. We had our own twin beds.
Yes.
It was very
twin bed action.
Very cold in that room,
oh,
which is always welcome.
I sleep hot.
Chuck was very nice. He got us
cooked
some drinks
for us.
And food cooked for us.
Insisted on buying us ice cream.
Yeah, got us a custard
yes.
on the way home. I even got some Jimmy's
yeah,
on there.
Oh, Jimmy's.
So for me, and I'm assuming you're the same way, Ken, I am bone in on staying the night over someone's house. And I don't know if this is an age thing, me.
Well, we're
latter,
of different ages.
That's what I'm saying, a latter 20s right now. But I've slept on floors. I've slept on couches. I just like having a good time late night over
you
a friend's
about
house.
Having a good time.
Yes, I am. I am
down
always
to
down
yes.
to clown.
You are.
So I am very much
yes.
bone in on the sleepover.
So for me, I have, and I'm a special kind of guy. I went to sleepover camp
yeah.
for a long time. I went to school where I slept there,
yeah.
Prep school.
So you're well adjusted.
So I had sleepovers as young kids at friends' houses. I can sleep. I have one superpower. I can sleep almost anywhere. I can sleep standing up. I can sleep on a couch. I can sleep on a love seat. I can sleep in a chair. I don't care. Just give me some place, and I'll fall asleep. So, yeah, I'm all in. I don't mind sleeping at other people's place.
Yeah, and some people are, like, very – they need to
Margie
be
hates
in there.
Margie hates it that I can
oh,
sleep.
Oh,
so
really? So yeah. is Margie someone who – would not be
down
the clown.
I don't know if she's anti-sleepover, but she hates that I can fall asleep so easily anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, some people, like I said, they just want their own bed. I mean, Ben, are you bone in or bone out on staying over someone's spot?
I'm bone in. I'm fine staying wherever, really.
He bragged the other day about sleeping somewhere else.
He did. I mean, his house didn't have any power.
Humble brag.
Yeah, I got to stay at my girlfriend's house. It was nice.
Yeah,
that's right. There we go. There it is.
Beltway Ben.
His house didn't have any power. I was in the same boat staying at my parents' the prior week as well. So, no, I like staying late over someone's house. That's where it's, you know, I have the good times roll till 1-2 in the morning. And then, you know, I don't feel like driving. And if it's like far away, I got some friends in Frederick. I'm not driving an hour back to Baltimore from Frederick at 1 or 2 in the morning.
No bueno.
I'm staying over the night.
You're doing some drinking Olympics.
That will be happening sometime soon. That's true. 410-583-1057 if you want to text in. But before we step out, a friend of mine is on the board for this nonprofit. It's called Stanley Snacks, And their slogan is, "We offer hope one snack at a time." And reason I'm bringing this up now is with the school year rapidly approaching, what is it, a couple weeks away?
Some places, sooner.
School starts. Stanley Snacks, they provide healthier snacks for Baltimore students. In the Baltimore metro area, approximately 1 in 3 children arrive and leave school hungry. Stanley Snacks fills the hunger gap in Baltimore by providing healthier snacks to schools to distribute to students in need. They've worked with 17-plus schools, receiving free healthier snacks for their students. Over 7,000 students have been fed through this program. And heck, they were just the hometown heroes for the Ravens in the preseason opener. So if you're looking to donate to a great cause, stanleysnacks.org is how you can find them, stanleysnacks.org. And before we step out, we did get a caller on today's TMI question. Joey is in Perry Hall. Joey. You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Tim? Ken, how you doing, fellas?
What's up?
So, you know, when it comes to adult sleepovers, it all depends on, you like, whose house you're sleeping at, in my opinion. Because, like, my cousin, I go over, visit her in Jersey. She's the CEO of Special Colors. She has a spare bedroom. She has a wine cellar, and it's amazing. But then I go up to Granite up in New Hampshire, and then sharing a couch with my buddy, and I got his feet in my face, and then someone sets an alarm clock for 4:30 in the morning, and it's the worst experience of my life. So it all depends on who you're staying with and where you're staying.
Yeah, Joey, that is a great point, and that's why we go back to Chuck. I mean, look, that was a house you would want to spend the night at, man. I mean,
there were many sleeping options.
So many sleeping options. So many bedrooms.
Yes.
So, yeah, there are some.
Yeah.
Yeah, not all houses and sleeping arrangements are created equal.
Did we mention he made us breakfast in the morning?
Made us eggs. Oh. Yeah, the chocolate croissants. Oh. He did not make them.
No.
They were still good.
He baked them the night before.
That's right. That's
yeah.
That's
he true. Baked them the night before. But it's very appreciative. It was a very nice situation for us, and I hope you guys had a chance to listen yesterday with Bobby DePaul. Because if you're a Ravens fan, he was dropping a lot of knowledge. Ravens just getting off the practice field today at one winning drive. Coming up next, a little purple rain in the forecast. We'll hear from John Harbaugh and Kyle Van Noy from yesterday as their practices wrapped up. That's next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.